The hands of Christ. Again, looking at another reference, the Lord's public ministry, when he laid his hand upon individuals and healed them. So our text for this evening is there in the verse 40. Verse 40, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse or different diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. As we mentioned this morning, our subject tonight in this series is the great physician. Christ, of course, is the great physician. When the Lord Jesus began his public ministry, he did so in Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Luke 4, verse 16. The minister in the synagogue that day obviously wanted the Lord to do the preaching, because the minister handed to Christ a copy of the scriptures. He gave to him a copy of the prophecy of Isaiah. And the Lord then announced his text, as it were, from the book of Isaiah. You look there in verse 18. There we read. In verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. So he chose his text, where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You'll find those words recorded in Isaiah 61, in verses 1 and 2. So the Lord Jesus has chosen his text, he has read his text, then we're told he closed the book and gave it again to the minister. Verse 20. He then told the congregation that the words he had just read, this day is this scripture fulfilled. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And what he read referred, of course, to the Lord Jesus himself. And he informed the people in the synagogue that day that the words written by Isaiah referred to him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Christ was anointed. What to do? To preach. And notice that's first. Whatever else the Lord did in his public ministry, we're told here the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. What to do? To preach. Three times, in verses 18 and 19, the Lord Jesus mentions preaching. So Christ was a preacher. And he informed them, that's why he came into the world, not only to preach, but to deal with the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, and the bruised. You think of that. You think of who the Lord came to rescue. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, the bruised. What a catalogue of misery may be hidden behind those words. But the Lord wanted those in the synagogue that Sabbath evening to know that he was the one who had come to reach, to rescue and to redeem all of whom the prophet spoke. And of course, every day of his public ministry, the Lord came face to face with the poor, whom he made rich in himself, made them richer than millionaires. When you're saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood, you're richer than a millionaire, because you have something millions will not buy. The brokenhearted, whom he mended, those broken hearts, Christ is the only one who can mend the broken heart. The captives, Christ set them free. The blind, Christ gave them their sight. The bruised, he bound up their wounds and healed them. That's who he is. That's who Christ is. And all who were touched by him were healed by him. And all who were healed by him would have thanked the God of heaven for sending his Son into the world, anointing him by the Spirit of God to reach the poor and the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, and the bruised. And we read in our text then, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. Doesn't say he touched everyone. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. First thing we want to notice here in our text is the tireless ministry of the Savior. The tireless ministry of the Savior. The Lord had been ministering in the synagogue that Sabbath day. Following his ministry there, he then went into the house of Simon Peter, Peter and Andrew, and there he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, lifting her up from her sick bed. She had had a fever, and he lifted her up, and when he healed her, she immediately ministered unto them. That's not usually what happens when anyone has a fever. It takes them a few days to recover, but not when Christ touched this woman. He healed her, and we're told she immediately ministered unto them. And so there we have the Lord's ministry for that day, and no doubt many other things he did. But what is recorded here in our text and the verses we read took place, you will notice, at the close of the day. Here we notice first of all the hour. Now when the sun was setting. There's the hour. When the sun was setting, Mark informs us, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Mark 1 verse 32. And there a great number of poor afflicted souls were brought to him, well, when the sun was setting. No, he didn't dismiss them and say unto them, you may come back again tomorrow, I've had a long day. No, he didn't send them away at all. That would never happen. You can read through the Gospels. Every chapter, every verse, and you will find not once did Christ ever send anyone away. Any dear soul who came to him, he dealt with them there and then. And even though the sun was setting, the Lord would never send anyone away. No matter what time or day of night The soul comes to Christ, he will attend to their needs. Never in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John do we ever read, Christ turning any dear seeking soul who came to him, ever turning them away. And it's the same today. The Lord never turned a seeking soul away. Never. And so even though the sun was setting, the Lord continued ministering unto those who had been brought to him that close of that day. Indeed, if we look very carefully at the verse, it would appear that the Lord Jesus not only ministered to those who had been brought to him as the sun was setting, it would appear the Lord worked into the night. Almost all night. You look there, verse 42. You have verse 40. And he laid his hands on every one of them. It was now the setting of the sun. And he healed them and continued ministering, dealing with the devils. And then it says, verse 42, and when it was day, there's no break. And when it was day. And so there is no break there. And that tells us a lot about the Savior. Yes, it tells us that he was always busy. But it also tells us that regarding those who had been brought to him that day with diverse diseases, Christ was burdened for them. He couldn't leave them. He couldn't send them away. Christ had a burden for them. He was bound by his love for poor, afflicted souls. Even though the sun was setting, he still ministered all. That's who he is. That's who the Savior is. For he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. John 9, verse 4. We refer to the work ethic of the Savior before. Turn to Mark chapter 4. And there in Mark 4, we read near the end of the chapter, verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was now come to the close of the day again, he said unto them, to his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, mark those words, they took him even as he was in the ship. They took him even as he was. Those words mean they assisted the Lord Jesus into the ship. He had been laboring and working all day, tirelessly. And remember, Christ is not only God, he's also man. And as man, he got tired. Later in the ship, he fell asleep. He was exhausted. And so we're told, they took him even as he was. They assisted him into the ship. Because he was tired. Because he had worked diligently all that day. He ministered until the point of exhaustion. And the disciples had to assist him. Took him even as he was. And helped him into the ship. Back to Mark 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it. They went out to lay hold on him. For they said, he is beside himself. He's beside himself. In other words, the multitude had come unto Christ and his disciples, and the Lord Jesus worked, and he worked, and worked, and when his friends, his relatives looked upon him, they said, look, he's beside himself. He'd not even stop and rest to refresh himself. He's beside himself. Such was the work that the Lord Jesus involved himself in. Oh, what a burden the dear Savior had. It didn't matter if one person was brought to him or 100 were brought to him. He never turned one of them away. He ministered to every one of them and healed every one of them. And here we see that even though it was the close of the day and the sun was setting, the tireless ministry of Christ, as well as the hour the sun was setting, we notice also the helpers. We are told in verse 40, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And so we look at those whom the Lord ministered to that day. They didn't come of their own accord. No, we are told they were brought to Christ. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. There you have, as we have called them, the helpers. The Lord's work always needs helpers. And here we have the Lord's helpers that day. They brought the sick people to Christ. And you'll notice something. I'll give you the references. Throughout, particularly, Matthew's Gospel, it didn't matter where the Lord was ministering. Galilee, Capernaum, didn't matter. Wherever he was ministering, there were those who were brought to him. There were those who were sick, those who had other afflictions, and they also had friends who brought the afflicted to Christ because they knew he would be able to heal them. Look at Matthew chapter 4. There in Matthew 4 we have similar words. Matthew 4, verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. There they have the helpers again. They brought their sick friends to Christ. Matthew chapter 8. We have the same thing once again. Matthew 8 and verse 16. And when Jesus would come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. They brought unto him. See, again, there's the helpers. Matthew 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Matthew 9, verse 32. And as they went out, Behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. You can do a little study yourself and go through Matthew's Gospel in particular. And you'll find that happen time and time and time again. Wherever the Lord was, there were those who brought their friends to Christ. In each of the references given, the helpers brought their afflicted unto him. No one else. All the disciples were there, but they brought their afflicted friends to him. There was a lesson there for us. We all have friends who we'd love to see saved. We all have loved ones who are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave them lost and alone. We want them over there. Let us be helpers then and do our best to bring them to Christ. A word in season, a word of witness, inviting them along to church to sit under the preaching of the gospel. We can do our part in seeking to bring souls to Christ. That's what the friends of those who were sick did. They brought them unto him. Whatever their affliction was, they believed, they knew that only Christ could heal them. That's why they brought them unto him. Isn't that the greatest help that we can give to the Lord's work? Help to bring men and women and children to Christ. Let us be soul winners for the Lord. Let us seek to win the lost for the Savior. We know that Christ is the answer. He is the answer to all the problems that sin has brought into a man or a woman's life. Christ alone is the answer. No one else. They brought the sick and the afflicted unto him. Nothing is beyond his power. No one is beyond his reach. There's no one. But no one is too far down in sin that Christ cannot reach them and save them by his grace. Praise the Lord. As the apostle tells us, Hebrews 7 verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. Save them to the uttermost. The word uttermost, that word means completely. He can save them completely. That means with nothing to add to it. Save them to the uttermost means completely, and it also means evermore. What do you think of that? He can save the soul, and he does save them completely. And he saves them forevermore. When we receive Christ, we receive eternal, everlasting life. We're saved forevermore. And that's what we noticed a few weeks ago in this series, when the Lord Jesus said, no man, no devil, no demon will be able to pluck my sheep out of my hand. We're saved forevermore. The Lord is able to do that. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. Speaking the souls about Christ, seeking to bring them to Christ, recognizing their salvation as the work of God, but we can be a witness for the Lord, as the Lord wanted his disciples He shall be witnesses unto me. Let it then be our prayer. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few are who seem to care. And few there are who pray. Melt my heart. Fill my lips. Give me one soul today. As well as the hour and the helpers, we notice here the hopeless. In the tireless ministry of the Lord Jesus, he met with the hopeless every day. We may ask why these poor afflicted souls were brought to Christ. Well, the answer is simple. Because there's nobody else to help them. Often lepers were brought to Christ. Often lepers came to Christ. Nobody else would want them. And the lepers came to Christ because there was no one else to help them. There wasn't a cure for leprosy. And as we know, they had to leave family and home and tribe and village and go in and live in a leper colony. Nobody wanted them. Ah, but Christ did. For when lepers came to him, when no one else wanted them, Christ was the one who touched them. And Christ was the one to heal them. They came to Christ because they knew there was nobody to help them. And here in our text we're told about those who were brought to the Lord with diverse diseases, and those who were possessed with devils, they were brought to the Lord because no one else could help. They were hopeless. They were beyond hope. Whatever sickness they had, they would have to live with it or die from it. Only Christ could help. The devils had destroyed many a life. And no one could help them. You recall when the Lord Jesus crossed over Galilee and went into the land of Gadara, there was a man called Legion, living in a graveyard. That's where the devil had led, and that's how the devil had dealt with them. Brought them to live in a graveyard. The townsfolk had tried to help them. They chained him. But being possessed with a legion of devils, he was able to break the chains. As if it was a piece of string. Nobody could help him until Christ came. And the Lord cast out the demons. And when the townspeople came out, what did they find? They found this man sitting at the feet of Christ, clothed and in his right mind. That's what the Lord's able to do. And here he took this man, Legion. No one else could help him. But Christ did. And here he deals with those with diverse diseases. Different diseases. And in him they find hope. In him they find help. In him they find healing. In him they find health. And I have no doubt in him they find happiness. They wouldn't have been happy before they were brought to the Lord that day because of their afflictions and because many were possessed with devils. But when they came to Christ, they had joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now what the Lord did for us when he saved us, put a new song in our hearts, even praise unto our God. And from these words we see that Christ is the appointed, anointed healer of every evil which sin has brought into the world. Diverse diseases, all different diseases, but Christ was the answer to them all, every one of them. Christ is the universal physician. To him all the children of Adam must go if they would be made whole. There's nowhere else to go to. For they, having no hope, and without God in the world, Ephesians 2 and 12, having no hope without God in the world. But worse than that, they knew not Christ, and no hope for eternity either. No hope in the world without God. And if they're without God, there's no hope for them for eternity. That hope is found in Christ. That's why all they that had any sick with devils or diverse diseases were brought to Christ. He was their only hope of recovery. He was their only hope of rescue. He was their only hope from ruin. Christ alone. And the Lord ministered when the sun was setting. And as I said, we pointed out, he ministered on to them into the late hours of the night. Maybe even into the early hours. And you know something? Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus rose up early in the morning. He labored at the close of the day when the sun was setting. He labored into the night, and he still got up early in the morning and went out into a mountain to pray. That's who he is. So we have considered the tireless ministry of the Savior. We look at the triumphant ministry of the Savior. And what a mass of misery was brought to Christ that day, as we read in that verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And that scene was repeated throughout the Savior's ministry. Over in Matthew 15. You read there in Matthew 15. And verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Yes, the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others, he healed every one of them. And we read in verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Once again, nobody was turned away. Nobody went away disappointed. No one went away at any of those meetings from any of those multitudes, went away and said, this man Jesus of Nazareth couldn't do anything for me. You never read that? Never. We notice then, back in our text, that when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick diver with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. We notice here his practice. It was a regular practice of the Savior to use his hands as he ministered unto the afflicted. That tells us, first of all, they were working hands. They were working hands. I remember when I served my time as an apprentice fitter welder, worked in a place called Willishant Engineering. And there was a young fellow come in and got a job there. But he always walked about with one hand in his pocket. Everything he did with one hand. And I remember asking him one day, "You know, why do you work with one hand in your pocket?" Oh, he says, "I play the guitar and I don't want to break my nails." Because I use the nails to twing the strings. Well, I tell you, it didn't last too long in that engineering place. It wasn't really a worker. Christ is a worker. Used his hands. He laid his hands on every one of them. He was busy working that evening when the sun was setting. And there at the close of the day, he was still working with his hands. And he laid his hands on every one of them. Now we know. We know the Lord could have spoken the word. The Lord could easily have raised up his hand over that number of people and said, "Be thou healed." Remember, the sun was setting. It was the end of the day. He had worked all day. But then that's not who Christ is. He doesn't seek any, as it were, shortcuts. He laid his hands in every one of them. He chose to use his hands to do his work and carry out his ministry among the afflicted. And how the Savior sets us an example. Let us all be workers. Workers. Workers for Christ. And be like Christ. Solomon says in Proverbs 10 and verse 16, "The labor of the righteous." So the righteous are expected to be laborers. Workers. "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life." The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Well, Christ is all righteousness. He's without sin. And how those words can apply to the Lord Jesus. The labor of the righteous Christ, tendeth to life. Because what did he do that day? Didn't he bring life? New life to those who had been brought to him when he healed every single one of them, cast out the devils of those who were possessed. They received new life that day through the working hands of Christ. Not only were they working hands, they were willing hands. Plain of those who were brought to the Lord that close of that day is told in a few words. We're just simply told the sick with diverse diseases. That's all we're told about them. But those words do not give a detailed description of the afflicted. Just sick with diverse diseases. How those diseases affected them, how it made them look, how it made them appear, how they suffered, we're not told. But that mattered not to the Savior. He laid his hands on every one of them. He didn't recoil from them. He didn't mind laying his hands on those sick and those diseased. As Rennie said, that he lay his hand upon lepers. And people wouldn't walk down the same street as a leper. Christ laid his hand on the leper. He did more than that. In one of the incidents that he laid his hand on the leper, the word means he embraced him. He embraced poor lepers now. And here he laid his hands on every one of them. The same word, laid, is found in Luke 15. Here we read in Luke 15, verse 5, the parable we referred to this morning. The shepherd goes out, he's lost one sheep out of 100. When he finds it, we're told in verse 5, and when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders rejoicing. It's the same word. The Lord laid his hands on every one of them. And here the shepherd, when he found the sheep, he laid it upon his shoulders. In other words, he bore the burden of the sheep. He carried the sheep home. He bore the burden of the sheep. And you apply the meaning of that word to those who were brought to Christ that day. The Lord laid his hands upon every one of them. He made their burdens his burden. That's what it means. He made their burdens his burden. He identified with them. He sympathized with them. No matter how wretched they were. Beloved, that word Paul spoke in Hebrews, that Christ our high priest, who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The word touch means to enter into. He entered into the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, our tears are his tears. Our burdens are his burdens. And here he laid his hands upon every one of them and identified with them and sympathized with them and was burdened for them. Their burdens were his. He willingly laid his hands on every one of them because that's who he is. Even though the sun was setting, he took time for everyone. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the dripping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Notice his practice. We notice further his patience. Notice how the Lord ministered to the afflicted souls that were brought to him that day. We read, he laid his hands on every one of them. Individually. In other words, he dealt individually, he dealt personally with everyone. You could say he was patient with his patients. Because he went with it, touched every one of them. Laid his hands on every one The Lord Jesus deals with souls individually, personally. Anyone who comes to Christ, receive Christ as Savior. There's a work done by the Lord in that individual's life. It's a personal work. That's why, as we mentioned this morning, that publican could not lift up his head even up to heaven. What did he say? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Personal. He was dealing personally with Christ, and Christ dealt personally with him. The not seeking soul confesses his sins. He repents of his sin. He receives Christ as his Savior. It's personal. It's between the sinner and the Savior. When someone gives a word of testimony, they can speak about the day that the Lord saved them and the Lord came into their heart and the Lord came into their lives. It's personal. As well as his practice and his patience, we notice his power. His power. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them. Just three words in that verse 40. And how they speak of the power of Christ. He healed them. It would be easy to read those words and read over them and not pause and think about what exactly the Lord did. He healed them. What did they have? They had diverse diseases. Different diseases. Some were possessed with devils. But he healed every one of them. There wasn't a man or a woman that day who came to Christ with whatever disease they had. There wasn't one who was turned away. There wasn't one who went home, and as I've already said, they wouldn't go home and say, Jesus of Nazareth couldn't do anything for me. Not one of them could say that, and there's never been a seeking soul since they've said that. That Christ couldn't do anything for me. The Lord Jesus is able to save all that come unto him. You read through the Gospels and you have testimony of that. All who came to Christ, the Lord healed them. The lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and we read many others. He's the great physician. He's the great physician. He has 100% success rate. Not many physicians can say that. But Christ can, because he healed every one of them. We have noted the tireless ministry of Christ, the triumphant ministry of Christ, and the telling ministry of Christ. We're told in the verse 41, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God, and he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak. For they knew that he was Christ. It's interesting. The demons told the truth. The devil knows the truth. Because when the demon said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God," he rebuked them because they knew that he was Christ, Christ Messiah. But the Lord rebuked them. Why? Because they were blaspheming his name. It's not as if they said, "Oh, thou art the Christ," and they said those words in faith. Not at all. They were blaspheming him. They were taking the Lord's name in vain. When anybody takes the Lord's name in vain today, you know where it's coming from. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And we're told the unclean spirits went out. Wherever unclean is, that's where it comes from, the devil. You have the removal and you have the rebuke. He rebuked them. He removed them. Sent them out of the lives of individuals. You see, when the Lord comes in, the devil has to go out. Both can't live under the same roof, as it were. And when the Lord saves a soul, the devil goes out. He removed the devils, and he rebuked the devils, and he silenced them. Good, the Lord's able to silence the devil. He's the great physician. 100% record. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts this evening. Let us pray. O dear Lord God and eternal Father, we thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee that the dear Savior came into the world to preach deliverance to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind. And oh Lord, how our dear Savior did that every day of his public ministry. We rejoice that our Savior is still working today, still opening the eyes of the blind, those who were blinded to the truth of the gospel, and to the light of Christ, who is the light of the world. He's still opening eyes. He's still changing lives. He's still saving souls. Lord, again, write thy word upon our hearts tonight. We might meditate upon it and use it, dear Lord, to direct our footsteps this week. We ask thee, Lord, that thou will be with us now as we part the house of God, part one from the other. Keep us safe, Lord. Be pleased to keep us safe and well according to thy grace. And again, remember the frontline workers and bless them and protect them. Lord, rid our land and this world of this pandemic. Thou art able to do it. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away.